You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Every year for the past 6 years, Boise State University has conducted a survey asking Idahoans what matters to them and how they want state resources to be used. So this year, the new survey dug into the topic that has dominated all of our lives for the last 11 months. That would be COVID-19. So from questions about mass mandates to vaccines, the survey offers a glimpse of what people here in our state think about the government's response. And some of these answers, well, they may just surprise you. Jeffrey Lyons and Matthew May are joining us live today to tell us more about the survey. Lyons and May are the authors of the survey from Boise State University. I want to thank both of you for being on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Jeff, before we get into the specifics of the survey, can you just tell us quickly how you gathered the information? Like, what methods did you use to reach out to folks here in Idaho?
Yeah, you bet. So what we did is a similar process to what we've been doing for the past 5 or 6 years, where we sampled 1,000 Idahoans from all across the state. It is a sample that is geographically and demographically representative of Idaho. And people were contacted in three different ways. So about half of them were contacted over the phone, about 30% were contacted over a sort of an email or online environment, and then the remainder were contacted over text message. So we contact people in a variety of different kinds of ways to overcome some of the hurdles of, you know, getting people to answer their phones and things like that.
And you said the sample size was 1,000 people. Is that the same size that you've used in the past?
Yeah, it is. You know, we choose 1,000 people because it gives us a reasonable level of confidence about the answers that we have. So by grabbing 1,000 people, we have a margin of error in this survey right around plus or minus 3%. So we feel pretty confident about the results that we present.
And then, Jeff, what time period was the survey administered?
Yeah, so we were out making phone calls and contacting people right after Thanksgiving. So sort of late November into early December, which is kind of an important thing to keep in mind as you look at a variety of these different questions. But it was certainly pretty recent.
Matthew, how many Republicans versus Democrats were surveyed? And I'm asking that because, you know, that is a representation, right, of our state, even though we are more conservative politically.
Right. So one of the things that we did is we not only asked what the person self-identified their political party as, but we broke them down kind of where do you fall on the spectrum? And so we kind of grouped the independent leaning Democrats with the Democrats and the independent leaning Republicans with the Republicans. So the breakdown was about 51% Republican in the survey, 27% Democrats, with about 13% pure independents right there in the middle.
And Matthew, did you face any barriers gathering information, specifically, urban versus rural, since we are in a very rural state as well?
I wouldn't say we encountered any barriers on getting that, because I think we work really hard to make sure that, you know, as Jeff said, that the survey is geographically diverse, to make sure that it is truly representative of the population. But certainly, I think as far as which contact methods, whether it's the phone, whether it's the online, or whether it's the text message, have more success in certain rural areas, I think you would probably see an effect there, but nothing that suggests that there's any strong barrier to the results themselves.
Gotcha. Okay. So Jeff, let's dig into what you learned specifically around COVID-19. So the survey asked, I'm going to read the actual question. Would you support or oppose the state making it mandatory to wear masks in public spaces to fight the coronavirus pandemic? I think, Jeff, it might surprise people to hear that overall there was more support in favor of mandatory masks, even though we saw so much backlash and resistance to local measures on this. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. What's happening here is actually really interesting. We tend to assume in a majority Republican state that the opinion of Republicans would largely drive these kinds of numbers that we see. And in fact, if we just look at the Republicans in our sample, their responses kind of look like what we might expect. Republicans were opposed to a statewide mask mandate, about 60-40. So they were opposed, but they were a little bit divided. Democrats, on the other hand, were almost universally in favor. It was something like 92 or 93% of Democrats were in favor of a mask mandate. So even though we would assume that Republican opinions would drive overall statewide results, when Democrats are almost uniformly on the same page, we get this kind of a result where we see, you know, 57% of Idaho supporting a statewide mask mandate when we just ask that sort of big picture question. Okay.
So then, Matthew, you did expand on that same question because you added an element of consequences and enforcement, asking people whether they would support a mask mandate if not wearing a mask would be punishable by a fine. Now, this also showed that more folks supported the measure than not. However, the intensity of that support went down. So how do you interpret that, given what we've seen play out across our state when it does come to mask mandates and enforcement?
I do think that what this shows is that once an enforcement mechanism is introduced, that people are just generally, they are a little more resistant to imposing mandates that can be punishable by fines. And so what we tend to see there is that the intensity of the support, the ones that are differentiated between strongly opposed versus somewhat opposed, that somewhat opposed shrunk and the strongly opposed increased. And you actually saw a little bit of a decline in the strong support on the other side as well. So that overall, we support went down to about 51%, opposition rose to about 46%. And you see a little more parity between the two sides. And generally, it's just because most people just, once you have that punishment mechanism in place, then they're thinking really long and hard about, well, do I want to go that far? I support the mask, but am I willing to go that far? And that's where I think we see that support shift.
So to the point of, I support a mask mandate, but not to the point of people being fined if they happen to not wear one.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then, Jeff, you also asked questions about the COVID-19 vaccine. And we know that Idaho has struggled in the past with vaccine hesitancy and misinformation, just with vaccines in general. But turns out a slight majority say that they would get it if the vaccine was available today. However, 38% said that they would not. So how do you interpret that?
Yeah, you know, and I think this is one of the questions that sort of people need to be thinking about moving forward, since this is the phase of trying to grapple with the pandemic that we're in. We do have a majority of people in the state saying they would take a vaccine, but that number, that 38% who say they would likely not, is pretty sizable. And I think it's important to point out that of that, it is 27% of the state of Idaho said they definitely would not get a vaccine. So that's some pretty strong resistance. And I think it suggests that if we're going to get to, you know, 70 or 80 or more percent of the population getting vaccinated, we have some work to do to get there. The caveat that I would put out there is that we were in the field in early December, and that was before we had either of our two vaccines approved by the FDA. So I think the hope is that if we were to ask that question again today, perhaps support would be a little bit higher as people have seen the vaccine rollout accelerate, more and more folks have gotten vaccinated. So that's kind of our hope, but regardless, we definitely see some pretty serious resistance.
So Matt, let's delve into that a little bit more, because you then in the survey asked people who were not planning to get the vaccine their reasoning. So almost 50% said that they were concerned with side effects, as Jeff mentioned, while 27.4% said that they just don't believe they need it. So what do you make of that? Does it just show a gap in public health understanding?
I think what it's indicative of is that there are some strong, deeply held beliefs when it comes to vaccines. Now, to be clear, that half that were concerned about side effects, that's half of that 38%. So in terms of the overall statewide sample, we're not talking about half of the entire state. We're talking about, you know, half of that 38%. So we'd be looking closer to around just under 20%. But the 27% of that group that simply do not believe they need it could be indicative of the sector of the population that is just largely skeptical of vaccines in general. And because of that deeply held belief, it transfers over when you start asking about the COVID vaccine specifically. So I wouldn't interpret the don't believe I need it as a specific COVID response so much as an indicator of the deeply held anti-vaccination belief among some sector of the population.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive more into this public policy survey from Boise State University right after this. And we're returning now to our conversation with Jeffrey Lyons and Matthew May of Boise State University. They co-authored this year's public policy survey. So Jeff, besides questions about public health and COVID, you did ask respondents general feelings about the direction of the state, the direction which the state is going. Why ask this and what did you learn?
Yeah, you know, we ask this question because sometimes we can step back from specific policies and just sort of ask about a general feeling for how things are going. The question that we ask is very simple. It's just, do you think the state of Idaho is headed in the right direction or is it off on the wrong track? And this is a question that pollsters have been asking in other states and in the United States as a whole for quite some time. So it's nice to have this as a baseline way of assessing what Idahoans think about the direction of the state, and we can compare it to how people in other states feel about how things are going there. And so what we found this year was that about 48 or 49% of Idahoans think that the state is headed in the right direction, and about 37 or 38% think that it's off on the wrong track. So more people have a favorable view of the direction of the state. But we did see a slight decrease this year from the questions that we've asked in previous years, where we tended to see about 55% saying the state was headed in the right direction. And it appears that most of that decline is coming from Democrats who are changing their assessment of the direction the state is going in.
And then, Matthew, I want to turn to public education, because in the survey, you asked people about their perception of K through 12 schools across the state. And then how that's different from their perception of K through 12 schools in their area. Now, it would seem, if you look at the survey, that people have more confidence when you ask them about their local schools versus statewide.
Yes, that is generally the trend that we've seen over time. And it kind of mirrors the same thing you see when people are asked to evaluate their own member of Congress. They have an unfavorable view of the body, but their local one is, you know, all right, because they're one of the good ones. And so what we tend to see is that the overall perception of the public education system in Idaho statewide, the most frequent response that we get is a fair rating followed by good, which deviates from the last year's survey when poor was actually the second most frequent response. But when you look at people's own school district, the top two rankings are good and fair, but you tend to see the most increase in the number of respondents identifying their school district as excellent, as it increased from about 5% statewide to 10% of people's own school districts they would rate as excellent.
And then, Jeff, criminal justice was another topic that you covered. Number one, curious what you learned about that. But then also, you asked folks about taxpayer money being spent on criminal justice, and what did respondents have to say about that as well?
Yeah, you know, so at a kind of a high level, we're interested in where people want to make investments. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the state over the past few years about needing to potentially build more prisons and prison shortages and things like this. So there was some interest from some of the folks that we talked with in trying to just get a general sense of Idahoans' thoughts on investing in prison capacity, kind of with an eye towards trying to keep people incarcerated for longer, versus investing in a sort of education, treatment, sorts of programs with an eye towards reducing recidivism. And that was kind of the goal going in, was just to try to get a general sense of those two trade-offs. The basic story that emerges across the several questions that we asked is that Idahoans are pretty supportive of the general idea of spending state revenues, state dollars, on sort of treatment and education programs, as opposed to investing in ways to keep prisoners incarcerated for longer periods of time. And that result holds whether we're talking about first-time violators or repeat violators. So we sort of get this view that emerges where Idahoans are fairly supportive in general of things that are aimed at rehabilitation.
So, Jeff, do you plan on sharing this info with Idaho lawmakers? I mean, in particular, with the criminal justice information that that you gathered?
Yeah, we do. One of our goals with this survey is to be a resource to decision makers across the state. And that can be the governor's office, legislators, mayors and city councils, et cetera. So we do. We produce a report and we share that information with the governor's office, with legislatures. We do a series of presentations over at the Capitol for anybody who's interested. And then we'll go talk to, you know, any other people who are grappling with these different policy choices and just sort of say, hey, you know, here's what we've learned about what Idahoans think about all the different choices that are before us.
Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking with us about this today. Always appreciate these surveys that you do. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you for having us.
We've been talking with Matthew May and Jeffrey Lyons. They co-authored Boise State's new public policy survey. We will, of course, put a link to that survey on our website. So if you are interested, you can look at the entire thing. More Idaho Matters next.